WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The sawmill company in northern Wisconsin that had a workplace injury resulting in the death of a 16-year-old employee in June has agreed to pay a fine and comply with federal labor laws. The investigation into the teen's death at Florence Hardwoods found three other children were injured at the sawmill in recent years. The company also had children working outside of permitted hours and illegally operating machinery. Florence Hardwoods has agreed to pay almost $200,000 in penalties to the U.S. Department of Labor. A new package of bills in the state assembly seeks to improve conditions for workers in Wisconsin. Representative Katrina Shanklin says the package would not only help workers, but Wisconsin's labor shortage, too.
I think any time you raise wages and give workers a voice in the workplace, you're going to have workers want to go to that workplace.
The Workers First labor package is 10 bills. Among other things, they would restore collective bargaining for public employees and set up a uniform prevailing wage. Another Wisconsin man is charged with storming the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Nate Wegehout reports.
40-year-old Joseph Catani of Colgate, Wisconsin, faces two felony charges of civil disorder and assaulting officers. Court documents say he grabbed a Capitol Police officer's face shield and pulled his head around. He then entered the Capitol building and remained inside for about 20 minutes. Video of the riot shows Catani attacking the officer and entering the Capitol, and the complaint says he later confirmed that the video was of him. Catani also faces several misdemeanor charges. He is at least the 10th Wisconsin native to be charged for participating on January 6th. Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
A top official in Wisconsin state government is on administrative leave. Terry Bell with more.
No one's saying why, since the investigation into Senate Chief Clerk Michael Queensland is still underway. The Journal Sentinel reports Queensland's access to state buildings was revoked on August 23rd. The Chief Clerk is a nonpartisan post that oversees administration and record-keeping for the Senate. The Chief Clerk also serves as the Senate's parliamentarian and chief operating officer. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The wild rice harvest in Wisconsin is underway. Wild rice is central to Ojibwe culture in northern Wisconsin and many other native tribes throughout the state. The wild rice found in Wisconsin and Minnesota lakes, rivers, and other flowages cannot be found anywhere else in the world. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources announced last week that harvest opportunities are limited this year due to drought conditions. A school bus and a city bus collided in Racine on Wednesday afternoon. The school bus was not transporting children at the time of the accident. Six people between the two buses had to be taken to the hospital. Local authorities are investigating the accident. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced his office and the Wisconsin Department of Health Services will join the effort to reduce suicide among two at-risk populations by 10% over the next 5 years. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports show suicide deaths have increased roughly 36% between 2000 and 2021. The two at-risk groups that will receive the most attention will be adolescents between 10 and 19 years old and rural men over 25 years old. According to a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel report, aging and disability advocates are expressing concern over the recent purchase of My Choice Wisconsin by Molina Healthcare. They worry that any cutbacks could result in people losing critical services, including a program called Family Care that's now managed by two for-profit health insurance companies. Family Care is a state Medicaid program to help low-income people with disabilities and elderly people live as independently as possible. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers are in the Bronx. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a three-game series tonight against the Yankees in New York. Catcher William Contreras says he'd like to stay with the team, but so far has not been offered an extension. Craig Counsell says that Contreras has become one of the team's most consistent hitters.
He's in a good streak right now for sure and feeling good. Feels like a chance for damage every time he's up and having really good at-bats.
Milwaukee now with just a two-game lead ahead of the Cubs in the NL Central Division after losing their last series in Pittsburgh. The Crew will send Colin Ray to the mound against the Yankees' Luis Severino. First pitch at 6:05. College football, the Badgers head west to play Washington State. The Cougars won their opener 50-24 over Colorado State, showing a lot of speed on offense. Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell.
Yeah, I think this is going to be faster than what we've you know, been probably experiencing for the most part through spring and through fall. So the good news is we've gotten some work at it, but it's always different when all of a sudden you get, especially you go on the road, you get in a new environment, you get the anxiety of an actual game. So those kinds of things are really critical.
Kickoff tomorrow night at 6:30. NFL, the Lions upset the Chiefs 21-20 last night. Lions head coach Dan Campbell on getting the win at Arrowhead.
This was a tough environment to come play in. And to that's why I'm excited, because I can't wait to get back to Ford Field. Because you know how loud that is. I know our place is going to be louder than this. I believe it with everything.
In Green Bay, the Packers' Romeo Doubs was back on the practice field for the first time after dealing with a hamstring injury. But Christian Watson was still out. The Packers face the Bears at Soldier Field in Chicago on Sunday, game time 3:25. In the offseason, the Bears picked up receiver DJ Moore in a trade with Carolina. Moore was a first-round pick for the Panthers. I asked defensive coordinator Joe Barry on what he sees on tape.
You know what he was in Carolina. You know him by reputation, but how exactly are they going to use him? Really good player. It's a guy that we're going to have our antennas on, because he's a guy that can change the game.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Welcome in to the Stu Daniels Show on a Friday morning. It is the 8th day of September. It's almost the weekend. Come on in, have a seat, get a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, relax, sit back for a couple hours. Going to give you some news headlines, some weather information, and you can even join in the program if you would like to. It is the 8th day of September. It is the birthday of Senator Bernie Sanders. And it's going to be a pretty nice day in Wisconsin. Going to start out a little cloudy today in most areas, but then sunshine coming through by the afternoon in La Crosse today. Cloudy skies this morning, sunny this afternoon, high around 75. In Eau Claire today, cloudy this morning, sunny this afternoon, high around 72. In Richland Center, cloudy this morning, sunny this afternoon, high around 74. And in Amory, sunshine, high around 72 degrees today. In Hayward, cloudy this morning, sunny this afternoon, and a high around 67 degrees. So the Brewers were off yesterday, and the Cubs lost to the Diamondbacks. So that puts Milwaukee back at 2 games ahead of Chicago in the National League East. The Brewers start a 3-game series against the Yankees tonight in New York. That should be fun to watch. And in the headlines today, another Wisconsin man, this one from Colgate, was arrested yesterday for assaulting a Capitol Police officer during the January 6th insurrection. Also, the drought in some parts of Wisconsin has now moved into the exceptional category, which, by the way, is the most severe drought category. Also, two Democratic lawmakers want to give tipped workers a raise, by eliminating the minimum wage of $2.33 per hour. And that would move those workers into the broader minimum wage of $7.25 per hour, plus their tips. And the last thing I want to mention in the headlines today is that UW music professor and bass player on dozens of popular records, Richard Davis, passed away Wednesday at the age of 83. And I think that's where we'll start. Bassist to the stars. UW's Richard Davis dies at 93. That's the headline in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This piece just updated 23 minutes ago. And if you listen to popular music, if you listen to the radio, music radio at all, or even to my show, you've probably heard him playing bass on several different songs, different albums by a wide, wide variety of artists. Let me give you a little bit of the story here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about this distinguished gentleman. It says, as a bassist, Richard Davis enriched the sound not only of jazz recordings by Eric Dolphy, Elvin Jones, and Sarah Vaughan, but also of rock and pop albums by Van Morrison, Bruce Springsteen, and Paul Simon, to name a few. As a professor for nearly four decades at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, he shaped many young musicians, sharing Black history and cultural experience while teaching the finer points of improvising music. Davis died September 6th, Wednesday, at the age of 93. His daughter Persia confirmed his death. He had spent the past 2 years in hospice care. Here's a quote. This is from Mr. Davis back in 1984 in an interview with the Milwaukee Journal's Kevin Lynch. He said, in my classes, they sometimes say, this is my first time with a Black professor. I'm glad I had the experience. In 2014, Davis received one of the top honors in jazz, the National Endowment for the Arts Jazz Master's Award. Closer to home, the city of Madison honored him in 2019 by naming a street after him, Richard Davis Lane, which connects Darbo Drive and Webb Avenue on the east side of Madison. He was born in 1930 in Chicago. Davis studied both classical and jazz bass as a teenager, playing in the Youth Orchestra of Greater Chicago, now known as the Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra, and he was instructed by Rudolf Fassbender of the Chicago Symphony. His early jazz career included stretches in the bands of pianist Don Shirley and vocalist Sarah Vaughan. He also played classical music under the batons of Igor Stravinsky, Leonard Bernstein, and other glittering names. Davis's many jazz sessions in the 1960s included Out to Lunch in 1964, widely considered the best album by his friend Eric Dolphy, an innovative alto saxophonist, flutist, and bass clarinetist. Then based in New York, Davis was called for many pop and rock sessions, including Paul Simon's album There Goes Ryman Simon in 1973. Also Bruce Springsteen's Greetings from Asbury Park in 1973 and his Born to Run album in 1975. Also, notably, Van Morrison's jazz-influenced Astro Weeks album, 1968. And writing about Astro Weeks, noted rock critic Greil Marcus gushed that, quote, Richard Davis provided the greatest bass ever heard on a rock album. While most jazz bass involves plucking, the bow is also used, and at that, Davis has few peers. Milwaukee Journal jazz reviewer Kevin Lynch wrote in that 1984 profile, Davis's family estimated that he recorded on three 1,000 albums and jingles, in addition to his dozen albums as a leader. In 1977, Davis was recruited to UW-Madison, where he taught music and musical history until his retirement in 2016. He also founded a Madison chapter of the Institute for the Healing of Racism and worked with the Campus Retention Action Project, dedicated to enrolling, keeping, and graduating students of color. From boyhood on, Davis had a passion for horses. When he first came to UW, he lived outside Barnabelt, where he kept and rode several horses, participating in dressage and other competitions. Davis met his wife, Pat, in 1972. She played a role in his conversion to a branch of Buddhism. On a 1977 pilgrimage to Japan, they met their first child, Joshua, a Japanese and Black child living in an orphanage for interracial offspring of American soldiers. Persia Davis told Madison365.com that her father requested no public memorial service. The family suggests memorial contributions to the Richard Davis Foundation for Young Bassists. So, Richard Davis passed away on Wednesday, and you have heard his bass. You have heard his music. You've heard him playing bass on many records over the years, and you'll continue to hear his sounds in the coming years. Let's take a break. 16 minutes, almost 17 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
A little fog and a few lingering clouds this morning, but the sun will come out this afternoon. We'll get to around 73 today. The wind out of the north at 5 to 10. Tonight, clear. Maybe a little more patchy fog by morning. Our low 52. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. 80 with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms on Saturday night into Sunday. Amounts won't be terribly heavy. Sunday, scattered showers, high of 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Comforting words of Bob Marley on a Friday morning. Yeah, don't worry about a thing. Everything's gonna be all right. Hey, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 60 degrees in La Crosse right now, and it's 61 in Richland Center. And the next topic that I want to address is the fact that another Wisconsin man was charged in connection to the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. I have a story here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, updated 15 hours ago by Drake Bentley. It says here that a Washington County man has been criminally charged for his involvement in the breach of the U.S. Capitol on January 6th of 2021. Joseph Catani, 40 years old of Colgate, is accused of assaulting law enforcement inside the Capitol. He's been charged with civil disorder and assaulting, resisting, or impeding certain officers, both felonies. Catani also received several misdemeanor charges, including entering a restricted building. Catani was arrested yesterday in Wisconsin, and charged in federal court in Washington, D.C. He made an initial appearance in the Eastern District of Wisconsin. Prosecutors said much of Catani's 18 minutes inside the Capitol were captured on video. An open source video shows Catani pulling an officer's face shield up and down as the officer's head twists and turns. Catani then pushes his way into the Capitol building through the rotunda doors, prosecutors said. Surveillance video shows Catani inside other areas of the Capitol building, including outside the Senate chamber and outside the office of the majority whip. He exited the building shortly thereafter through a window. Catani agreed to be interviewed on November 1st at a restaurant in Menominee Falls. A criminal complaint states he admitted to entering the Capitol on January 6th and identified himself as the man in the images. During the interview, Catani said the crowd became more hyped up after then-President Donald Trump stated that he would walk to the Capitol with everyone, the complaint says. And Trump, of course, was indicted by a federal grand jury last month for his alleged role in conspiring to overturn the 2020 election. The indictment accuses Trump of directing his supporters to march to the Capitol on January 6th. More than 1,146 people have been arrested in nearly all 50 states related to the breach of the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Some have been sentenced to more than a dozen years behind bars. Trump has said he would pardon many of the rioters if he were to gain a second term in the Oval Office. My advice, don't break into the U.S. Capitol and don't assault police officers. What happened to the idea of back the blue? 8:27, almost 8:28 right now. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
You got the cool water when the fever runs high. You got the look of love light in your eyes, and I was in crazy motion till you calmed me down. It took a little time.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. An American researcher is stuck in a cave in Turkey. Mark Dickey is 3,000 feet down, and getting to him is a big challenge. CBS's Remy Innocencio on the lengthy rescue mission.
A healthy caver could ascend in about 15 hours. For Dickey, the worst-case scenario could have him surface 2 weeks from now.
President Biden is off to India for the G20 summit. Our Ed O'Keefe is traveling with him.
The president is en route, and he tested negative again for COVID-19 before taking off. Of course, remember the first lady had tested positive for COVID-19 earlier this week.
Hurricane Lee is now a Category 5 storm in the Atlantic, packing 160-mile-per-hour winds. Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen on its path.
The question beyond this weekend is, where does Lee go next? It currently looks like he's going to take a path between the Bahamas and Bermuda.
Lee isn't expected to hit land. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin state employees are still awaiting a 4% pay increase that was due to activate this summer while awaiting approval from a legislative employment relations committee. The pay bump was signed by Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers in July, and the proposed compensation plan was received by the committee on July 31st. If the plan is approved by the committee, state employees would receive a 6% pay increase over the next 2 years. The Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin has submitted testimony to push back on utility companies' requests to raise rates again starting in January. The Citizens Utility Board wants stronger consumer protections to guard against excess profits by utility companies and recommended a profit rate of 9.3% would save customers more than $100 million over the next 2 years. The board also wants to propose a balanced, cost-based, sustainable approach for programs that provide payments to customers who produce their own energy. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
...93.5, The Tap.
Day when you pull dark barns.
and your canary sings. You're out there with winners. It's good to be king. It helps to make friends. It's good to meet girls. A sweet little queen who can't run away. It's good to be king, whatever it pays. Some place in my mind where I go time to time.
Yes, it is good to be king. Music from Tom Petty. Friday morning, 8:36, almost 8:37 right now. And it is good to be king. When you're king, you can call your buddies, raise a bunch of cash. Trump posts a $100,000 per person fundraiser to help his old buddy Rudy Giuliani pay his legal bills. You probably heard that Giuliani is hurting for cash right now. So his friend Donald Trump stepped up and sent the invitations out to his friends, said it's $100,000 to get in the door, but you can hang out and hobnob with the political elites. I have a story here from the Associated Press, and this was just posted this morning. In fact, just a few minutes ago, it says former President Donald Trump hosted a $100,000 a plate fundraiser for former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani at his Bedminster, New Jersey golf club. As Giuliani struggles to pay his mounting legal bills, Giuliani, a longtime Trump ally who also served as the fellow Republican's lawyer, is facing a barrage of legal fees and fines, sanctions, and damages related to his work helping Trump try to overturn the 2020 election and other cases. He was indicted last month along with Trump and 17 others in Georgia for what Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis has described as a wide-ranging conspiracy to subvert the will of the voters. After Trump lost to Democrat Joe Biden, Giuliani's son, Andrew, said in a radio interview that the Thursday night event was expected to raise more than $1 million for his father, and that Trump had committed to hosting a second event at his Mar-a-Lago club in Palm Beach, Florida, later in the fall or early winter. Make your plans now. And here's a quote. This is from Rudy Giuliani's son, Andrew. He said, so that will be very helpful, he said on WABC radio. Still, he said, quote, it won't be enough to get through this, end quote. He has created a committee, the Giuliani Defense Pack, to raise funds for his father. Allies have also been soliciting checks
for what they have called the Rudy Giuliani Freedom Fund. Brian Tevis, who is representing Giuliani in Georgia, said on CNN on Thursday night that he assumed the former mayor was trying to raise, quote, as much as possible, adding, and I think that they're going to need it, end quote. Giuliani was held liable last month by a federal judge in a defamation lawsuit brought by two Georgia election workers who say they were falsely accused of fraud. A trial could result in Giuliani being ordered to pay significant damages to the women, in addition to the tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees he's already being directed to pay. To generate cash, he's hawked autographed 9/11 shirts and pitched sandals sold by election denier Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow. He's also joined Cameo, a service through which celebrities record short videos for profit. Are you going to hire Rudy Giuliani to make a short video for you? In July, he put his Manhattan apartment up for sale for $6.5 million. Last year, a judge threatened Giuliani with jail in a dispute over money owed to his third ex-wife. Giuliani said he was making progress paying the debt, which she said totaled more than $260,000. In May, a woman who says she worked for Giuliani sued him, alleging that he owed her nearly $2 million in unpaid wages and that he had coerced her into sex. Giuliani denied the allegations. His lawyers have repeatedly cited his financial troubles in court filings. So, if you have a few dollars, you might want to consider sending them to Rudy Giuliani. He could use your help right about now. I don't know if that's what I would do if I had a few extra dollars, but let's get to a related story. This is from Politico. Offensive is the word. Offensive. Georgia prosecutor excoriates Jordan for probe into Trump charges. Fulton County DA Bonnie Willis told Judiciary Chair Jim Jordan from Ohio that it's, quote, clear that you lack a basic understanding of the law, its practice, and the ethical obligations of attorneys generally and prosecutors specifically, end quote. This piece was posted late yesterday afternoon, and it says here, the Georgia district attorney at the heart of former President Donald Trump's latest indictment on Thursday rebuked House Republicans' investigation into her office, accusing them of blatantly trying to obstruct a criminal proceeding. Fulton County DA Fani Willis on Thursday sent a fiery letter to House Judiciary Chair Jim Jordan, responding to his decision to launch an investigation into the Georgia office just hours before Trump appeared in court late last month on charges related to interfering in the 2020 election. In this blistering 9-page response, Willis called Jordan's actions offensive, accused him of being misinformed, and said it's, quote, clear that you lack a basic understanding of the law, its practice, and the ethical obligations of attorneys generally and prosecutors specifically, end quote. Jordan requested information about Willis's use of federal funding and any conversations her office had with the Justice Department or Special Counsel Jack Smith, who has brought charges against Trump in both a classified documents case and over his actions during the 2020 elections. But Willis, in her letter, said that Jordan's, quote, obvious purpose is to obstruct a Georgia criminal proceeding and to advance outrageous partisan misrepresentations. Your attempt to invoke congressional authority to intrude upon and interfere with an active criminal case in Georgia is flagrantly at odds with the Constitution. There is absolutely no support for Congress purporting to second guess or somehow supervise an ongoing Georgia criminal investigation and prosecution, she added in the letter to Jim Jordan. A spokesperson for the Judiciary Committee chair didn't immediately respond to a request for comment on Willis's letter, a copy of which was obtained by Politico. The back and forth comes after Willis charged Trump and 18 allies with racketeering charges for attempting to subvert President Joe Biden's victory in the state during the 2020 election. Trump pleaded not guilty late last month to the charges, the fourth set he has faced over the past year. Jordan's request for information followed a familiar playbook Republicans have taken against Trump's other two prosecutors, Smith and New York District Attorney Alvin Bragg. The committee similarly sent a letter to Bragg in the spring, though that probe fell out of the spotlight as other Trump investigations moved to the forefront. House Republicans have little recourse to fight Trump's charges outside of their investigation powers. They could take up legislation that would let a former president or vice president move a case from state to federal courts, or try to target funds through spending bills, but the Democratic-controlled Senate would certainly block those efforts. Willis, in her letter, did provide some details on federal funds that her office receives, one of Jordan's requests, but the bulk of her letter offered several pointed criticisms of the House GOP's request, including that it would involve sharing non-public information about an ongoing investigation. And she pointedly argued that it was time for him to, quote, deal with some basic realities. And that's what I would advise everyone who still believes the things that Donald Trump says. 8:47. Got to take a quick break. Stick around. It's a short one. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Well, I try to tell you, baby, run, make no sense. No, you got me, baby, up against this fence. And ain't that a shame, shame, shame? Shame, shame, the way you do. Well, it's a shame, shame, shame. Shame, shame on you.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
little fog and a few lingering clouds this morning, but the sun will come out this afternoon. We'll get to around 73 today. The wind out of the north at 5 to 10. Tonight, clear. Maybe a little more patchy fog by morning. Our low 52. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. 80 with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. On Saturday night into Sunday, amounts won't be terribly heavy. Sunday, scattered showers. High of 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Jam and a half. It's music from the Grateful Dead on a Friday morning, and I wanted to play that because today is the day that Pigpen was born. Yep, it was September 8th of 1945. Pigpen, also known as Ron McKernan, one of the founding members of that band back in 1965, and played with them until 1972 when he had to leave the band because he was having some serious health issues and then died about a year later. But he was an important part of the Grateful Dead for those years that he was in that band, and his music lives on. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on a Friday morning, 8:54. Right now we've got 57 degrees in Eau Claire, and it's 53 degrees in Amory. One of the items I mentioned in the headlines today is the fact that Wisconsin is suffering some serious drought conditions. And there are areas now that have been moved into what's known as the exceptional category, which is the most intense category in the list of drought intensities. This headline here from Channel 3000 says parts of southern Wisconsin are now experiencing exceptional drought, the most intense category. And it says here that drought conditions in parts of southern Wisconsin have continued to worsen, with some spots now in the most intense category on the U.S. Drought Monitor classification scale. The latest drought monitor released on Thursday lists portions of southern Monroe, southwestern Juneau, eastern Vernon, northeastern Crawford, northwestern Richland, and far northwestern Sauk counties as experiencing exceptional drought, the driest classification on the scale. Areas north and west of a line from Lancaster to Cobb to Lodi to Poinette, as well as eastern Greene and western Rock counties, meanwhile, are seeing extreme drought conditions, which is the second driest category. And statewide, 84.5% of Wisconsin's land area and 4.2 million of the state's residents are seeing some level of drought. Other parts of the upper Midwest, including much of northeastern Iowa and southeastern Minnesota, are also seeing extreme or exceptional drought conditions. Some rain chances are in the forecast for early next week, but most of the next week looks to be precipitation-free across southern Wisconsin. So about all we can do is pray for rain, right? And hope that that is alleviated sometime soon. Makes it difficult for the farmers, that's for sure. Got 8:56 right now, almost 8:57. Going to take a top of the hour break for the news. Stick around. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, May Dawn, Big Newton lover, of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.